Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, owner and founder of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. We are Boston-based. We are syndicated as well. The media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. And we are a station that you can find just about anywhere you are, whether you're in a different country, whether you're in the U.S., whether you're using mobile devices, in the car, or asking Alexa. So you can check us out at any time. You can really get to know all the glorious hosts. We have so many now. Just go on Dream Visions, all one word, with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. Well, today's episode of Love by Intuition is brought to you by the purposeful book, Spirituality, Modern Disciples of Jesus Christ, by author Bettina Sparkles. This book is filled with comforting encouragement during this time of chaos in America and around the globe. It is channeled, updated ancient wisdom from a higher source, and readers will learn about who they really are. They will also learn what their purpose is. Loving light will shine joy in the reader's heart. Spirituality, Modern Disciples of Jesus Christ can be found on Amazon and on BettinaSparkles.com. Bettina is B as in boy, E-T-T-I-N-A, Sparkles, all one word, .com. She's also giving an offering, a free chapter of her latest book, and you can contact her. It's a PDF, and her email is bhsparkles@yahoo.com, bhsparkles@yahoo.com, to get a free chapter of her next book. So we're welcoming back Stephen Manchester. He's an excellent author. He's actually a best-selling storyteller and author, and has 4 number one national bestsellers, 12 Months, The Rocking Chair, Pressed Pennies, and Gooseberry Island. What is happening with his creativity, and he has certainly found his purpose, is he's able to write stories and around people's lives that just pull you in because it's so detailed. You feel it. You feel that you're part of that family. So he definitely has a gift. And we're always talking about identifying our own gifts and serving the world, serving the universe. And Stephen has actually done that. He's been on the show before, so you can go on our site, dreamvision7radio.com, and put in Stephen Manchester, or just Steve Manchester, and up will come other shows that you can enjoy. So come on in, Stephen, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Deborah. I really appreciate it. It's great to be back.
You're welcome. And we should put the number out because Bob's in the house, and if anyone during the show would like to call in and have a question for Steve, you can certainly do so. We welcome that, 833-220-1200. So because it's been a while, why don't you share what drew you to write? It's in the book, but share for the listeners.
Yeah, so my grandfather was an amazing storyteller, and I remember being a kid thinking, you know, that words really do have power, right? They can make you laugh, they can make you cry, but they really, what they do is they connect us. And even though he never put pen to paper, he did inspire me to become a storyteller myself. And, you know, fast forward 20 years, I get into a career of law enforcement. I was also in the military. And then I served in Operation Desert Storm. So I was in the Persian Gulf in 1991. It was a difficult experience, to say the least, at least for me. But I made a promise to myself, right? When I make it back, I'm going to chase my dream down to become a published author. And a lot of people don't know this, but in the traditional sense, you know, being a published author is like a 97% rejection rate. So it's very, very difficult to break into the business, and you have to be committed in order to make it. And for me, what I didn't realize was, you know, it takes years to really find your voice and your style and you know, learn how to write, for the lack of a better phrase. But so if you're going to stay at the table for that long, you really probably do have a very good chance of having some success. And I was, you know, stubborn enough to stay at the table.
Yes, which is our fortune.
Thank you. So, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So The Menu, which is the book we're going to be talking about, You Are Never Alone, Not Ever. And it circles around the life of Finn Reed. Now, did you pull this out of your hat, or is this memories of another time, or someone twice removed in your family? How do you pull that together?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm a very, very spiritual person, so I wouldn't consider myself a religious man, but I am very spiritual, and I'm, you know, a man of great faith. And, you know, years ago, so I've probably been working on this book for about 10 years, which is saying something, considering that that it usually takes me, you know, 6 to 9 months to write a novel, from research to the final copy. So I go pretty quick with it. But for this book, I really wanted to get it right, and I knew 10 years ago I probably didn't have the skill set, you know, to get it the way that I wanted it. But essentially, the book was, you know, inspired by my children, right? You know, as you're raising your kids, there's the questions that come up about life and death, and then fears of death. And I would always tease them and say, you know, were you afraid to come here? Were you afraid to be born? And, of course, the answer is no, though. Why would you be afraid to leave and go home? And it really was spawned from that, where it was like trying to remove fear from my kids to talk about the afterlife, and then that inspired, you know, pre-life, and I'm sure we'll get into that.
I love that, Steve, because you're, as we all know, every person has some level of fear around exiting the earth and transitioning to the other side, and so I'm loving that you talked with your kids, because now you've opened the door for conversation around all these questions. Not that we ever have all the answers or even some, but you've taken that, that's a gift you've given to the kids, that they do not have to be afraid. Because so many people are afraid and wouldn't even bring it up in front of the kids. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly do not claim to have all the answers, but I can share my belief system and my faith with my children. And, you know, even with The Menu, it was important, you know, I wasn't looking to recruit to any specific religion, or, you know, I really wanted the story to be more universal, but I did write it for my children. So as long as I continue to write for my kids, I know that at the very least, I'm coming from the right place.
Right. Wow. So what are your beliefs around? I mean, there's so many things we can talk about in the story, and we don't want to give a lot of it away, because we want people to buy the book. And it's a story through the whole life of this family, from A to Z, having babies, how you're feeling, how your heart hurts when you yearn for someone. So what are your beliefs? I know you're a Christian, and so
I am. I'm a Christian.
Do you believe that, and I'm constantly thinking about this, Steve, you know, where we go, the veil isn't as thick, it's really thinner than we believe, and we're here, as the book says, in a short period of time, we're here, although for us, it seems like it's forever. But speak to that and share.
Yeah.
Because I think, the reason I'm asking about this, Steve, this is a time that we're living in the evolution of the human race. At least that's what I believe. And people are yearning for information, for answers, for some kind of comfort they're looking for. So speak, please.
Yeah, thank you. So I am a Christian, right? So I follow Jesus Christ, and I believe completely But that is a very personal faith for me, right? That being said, I also believe that God is unconditional love, right? So if you really think about that term, unconditional love, then, you know, when you look at judgment and you look at punishment, all the other stuff that goes with it, it's really, really hard to reconcile that if you don't make the right decision or the right choice or pick the right door, you know, that you're damned. And I have a very difficult time with that, right? Because I do believe that we have a loving God, and I do believe that we are forgiven, right, for the mistakes that we make. But that, you know, God weighs our heart, right? So for me, I think a lot of people wonder throughout their lives whether or not, you know, they pick the right door. So I'm a Christian. I just happened to be born in the United States of America to parents who were Christian. And then I think, well, what if I were to be born or sent by God to go live in a different part of the world where they're Hindi or Buddhists or whomever, right? And I, you know, and then I pick that, you know, I have that religion that I grew up with and I believe in that and I'm devout to it. So for me, religion is as divisive as it is, you know, more than it is unifying, right? I think that, you know, if you look at historically, I mean, how many people have died in the name of one God or another? So with this book, it's really about, you know, I continue to say this. I believe that we're all connected forever. I believe we were connected before we came here. I believe we'll be connected after we leave here. And I think that, you know, I don't know if you call this a testing ground or a place where we need to evolve, right? You know, use your word. But there are things that are much, much bigger than this. And I really believe this is a flash in the pan when, you know, compared to our existence, our eternal existence.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm coming to believe that, you know, home is where, with God, Creator, higher
right.
source, whoever wants to name whatever, and that when we come to Earth, it's almost like for everyone at home there in that other dimension, that we just went to the store or maybe a trip to Italy and we'll be right back. And
right,
we're growing
right.
our souls and feeling the emotions, all the ups, downs, all of the good, bad, and the indifferent. We're learning from all those, which in the light we're in the light and love, so we're not able to experience all these things. And then I believe God experiences through us as well. And
I do too.
And who knows? There's a multiverse
right.
out there. There could be a number of Earths, but
right.
it's I think it's enjoyable to talk about it. And I think it's important to keep in mind to eliminate that them and us mentality, because then that's the judgment, that's the division, and we're here to help unify everyone. So
right.
One of the things in the book that you have said through, I think it was Mr. Tatro, is this who I want to be today? When we wake up,
right.
is this who I want to be today? Where did that come for you?
It's, well, again, I mean, probably the lowest point of my life was in the Gulf War. And, you know, I remember continuing to ask, like, so if, you know, I believe if you ask yourself that question, or if you're that cognizant of the fact that, you know, you create your own reality. I have a very difficult time with people who, you know, spend years or decades, you know, playing the victim where, and I'm not saying, you know, people can't hit a bad stretch of luck or, you know, things happen. I mean, we're living through a pandemic right now, so I get it. But, you know, on the day-to-day, you know, on somebody's individual attitude, I think it's really our responsibility. So the more we take accountability or responsibility for our own lives and our own souls and say, listen, you know, the clock's ticking, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to play the victim. Is this who I want to be today? How can I get better? What is the best version of myself, you know, and how can I work on that, right? Because it's not, you know, when I was younger, you know, I compare myself to other writers. As I grow older and hopefully a little bit wiser, I don't want to do that. I mean, I compare my work to my previous work. Have I grown? Have I gotten better? Have I learned? And that's, you know, for me, when you become that aware of being, you know, having some accountability or responsibility for your life, you know, is this the person I want to be today? You know, if everybody asked themselves that every day, I think we'd live in a much better world.
Absolutely. It's an excellent question. And if you do that, the first moment that you wake up, it really sets the day. Because we can all be pulled in, as you probably well agree, to day-to-day responsibilities or bump in the road or something happens and it could pull us down. But when you think of life as coming from a higher source, you kind of can focus on what just happened and where the gift is or where the lesson is or the guidance. And then it's a way of connecting the dots to whatever's happening at that time. And I believe you feel that way too, just by the way you're conveying.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do.
Yeah, it's fun. It is. And yet, and so let me ask you, I say this a lot, but we do create our own reality. Can you explain that in a way where people can understand? Not that they're creating awful things for us to experience. It's not about that. Speak to that more, Steve.
Yeah, I will say, like, for me, it's and I call it the three P's, right? So the first thing that I needed to figure out was, what my purpose was. And I know it takes, I've been very, very fortunate or blessed to have found that out early on, right? So I was in my early 20s when I knew that I had, some skill around writing, that I had a passion for it. So, I chose that, right? Or it chose me. So this is my purpose. Once I had my purpose, or I could define my purpose, it was about passion. Right? So pouring all of my time and effort, my discipline, being committed to my purpose, right? So, and then early on, especially early on, perseverance took care of the rest. So even when I didn't have the answers, as long as I continued to fight, for that quote-unquote dream, then I knew, I was still in the game, right? To me, there's no such thing as failure. And I don't mean to, talk in cliches here, but, I tell young writers all the time, like, you have no idea how long it may take for you to get to where you think you want to be, right? But, unless you quit, you have not failed. Right, we're talking about an industry again with 97% rejection rate. So you are going to fail over and over and over and over and over. And I look back now, 25 years later, and I thank God for the failures that I had, because it made me work harder. It made me become a better writer. It's really formed me into who I am. So for me, purpose is first, and then it becomes passion, pouring everything you can into that purpose, and then just relying on perseverance, which really should guarantee success at some point.
Yes, I agree with that. And then on my end, then I add the listening to the guide for the guidance, because it's there. And as you had said, we create our own reality. And what that really means is, are we listening and are we taking that guidance that's there for us to implement, or are we whining about something totally different? And we're human, so we're going to have things happen. It could be anything, any minutia, whatever, but at that moment, it could be big. And then once you start, and I'm sure you do this, Steve, once you start paying attention, then you start looking at it, okay, all right, so what's the message here? This is what's happening, and, what is the next step? And then just asking, what can I do to make this better? Things like that. Right. And you're in that energy, and that energy is feeding that passion versus that energy is feeding down and out.
Absolutely.
Which, again, we all do, because we are here in the human form, so we're going to have all that. But if you can cultivate the goodness, so you can, like, oh, wait a minute, I'm handling this the wrong way. For me, for me, I want to go up to the higher source and work it from there.
I know, I agree. I think it's really being spiritually aware, right? So on the cover of the book, I wrote, you're not alone, not ever. I believe that. And I'll tell you, as a perfect example, my dad passed away about a year and a half ago. And I can honestly tell you, Deborah, that in many respects, I feel closer to him today than I did my entire life, right? Like, I'll sit and write, and I decided, well, I'm going to write this book for my father, and, just basically, it's, there's a huge thank you letter, right? And to say thank you and you know, just be in that space of gratitude, you know, for everything they gave me. And as I sat and wrote it, I thought it was going to be this drama. I mean, I'm known for writing tearjerkers. And it ended up being a comedy. And I'd sit there and laugh, and I could picture him sitting beside me laughing. And I felt very close to him, like he was there with me. You know, and it's just the strangest thing, you know. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, to me, there were times mm-hmm. where, you know, the writing is very, very spiritual to me, because I you know, I'll finish a passage and I'll look at it and I'm like, there's no way that came from me, right? That had to come from somewhere else, right? So I just that was pushed through me. So I'm grateful for that.
Yes. I'm glad that you experienced that, too. So we're up on our break already. Everyone stay with us. We'll be back in a moment more with Stephen Manchester, author of The Menu.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roig-DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. The number here again is 833-220-1200. Bob is right here to answer your call and put you through, so don't be shy. We are visiting Stephen Manchester. He is a multi-best-selling author and storyteller, and we're talking about The Menu, You Are Never Alone, Not Ever. So, Steve, one of the things I'd like to talk about is you have in the book, the whole theme is we can have anything we want. All we have to do is ask for it and mm-hmm. really put our, as I would say, put our energy and believe. I think believing is so key. And
right.
And to take it a step further, for someone else, we can't really, we can wish them all glorious things, but they're on their own separate journey, and we can't make things happen for them because we're not them.
Right. Yeah, I totally believe that. Again, if you believe that the soul exists, you know, in the afterlife, why would you not believe that it exists in the pre-life, right? So if you take that concept, which is what I used for this book, and the title came very, very easily, you know, to me because of the way that it's set up. But, you know, and it's, I'm not giving anything away by saying, you know, when you first open the book, there's a page from a menu there, right? So, same way if you were to go out to an Italian restaurant and if you ordered, you know, fettuccine Alfredo, it would cost you, you know, $18. So there's a price to pay for everything, right? So within this menu, the book opens up with two silhouettes standing in a cloud. One is God. The other is Finn Reed. And Finn is ordering his life from the menu. And God explains to him, you can't have any of the good without the bad. So, you know, if you want love, you must also experience indifference. If you want courage, and Finn asks for courage, and he says, fine, but you also need to accept fear. So for every good, there's a bad, right? And you need to pay the price for that. Finn hands the menu back to God and says, I'll take it all. I want to experience everything. So God says to him, listen, you know, there's only a couple of things here. One, you need to finish it. If you order it, you finish it, just like you're, you know, a kid sitting at the dinner table. And the second thing is, and I think it's probably the more difficult thing, is we don't choose what other people, you know, live, right? How other people live. So, you know, I may have an idea of how I want my life to go. And, you know, I'm married to the love of my life, my wife, and she may have chosen something very different, right? So trying to reconcile the people around you, the people that you love, I think is a difficult deal. But for me, I thought, how cool would it be if you could, you know, order your own life, and then, you know, the memory is erased. You're not going to remember anything until you go home, you know, to see the Father again. And then you come down to earth, and you start to live that. But as we live, obviously everything, you know, there's the yin and yang, the, you know, karma, whatever you want to call it. There's a price to pay for everything. And I think that's very, very true with life, and I think it's probably true in the spiritual world as well.
Yeah, and then you talk about the review, and many people believe that, and I think that's, it just resonates for me. So describe the review for those that may not know what we're speaking of.
The review of the menu?
The review that once we're done on Earth and we return to the afterlife.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I think one of the cool parts of the book, and if I'm being very transparent, I spent a long, long time, you know what I mean, writing and crafting, I should say, the spiritual aspects of this novel. But it's also carried in a love story, something that's real and hopefully real enough and relatable to the reader, right? So that you can, you know, it carries the story along. But there are several people that, you know, pass away in the book, and, you know, when they open their eyes and it's time to, you know, talk to God or take a look at what it is that you've done, I think, you know, what's cool about it is, you know, have you experienced this? Yes, I have. There's a fear of I'm going to be punished. And the way that I depict it in the book is it's almost a moment in time where you feel everything that you've made other people feel, that you think or experience everything that other people have experienced at your hands, right? Whether it's in your words and your deeds. So it's all about the having a conscience. It's about, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In the end, I think the payment is just understanding the impact that we had on other people. And if it was a good thing, if you've lived a life where you were helpful and positive, then obviously there's not a lot to suffer, you know. But if you've been somebody who's been incredibly selfish and hurtful, then you're going to experience that same thing when you go home.
Right. Do you think we get an opportunity to come back and make it right?
Yeah, I think we do. I don't think that... I think that we're really here to learn. I really, really do. I think that we're here to work on things. I think it's probably you know, we probably have some say in that. You know, if you look at free will, I mean, if, you know, and I think I write this in the book where, you know, God says to the character, like, you know, I never really enjoyed puppet shows, right? So the only way I could allow this to happen is, you know, to send you with free will. But, you know, as part of having free will, you're going to make your mistakes and you may not, you know, cover off what you thought you needed to. I believe that. I believe that we come here and we come to learn, but I also think it's probably voluntary. You know, and you had mentioned something earlier where it was, you know, you had mentioned that you believe God also experiences things through us. I do as well. I think if you put all of us together, right, it's the body, right? It's, you know, and that's what drives me nuts when you see people hurting each other or they, you know, they get into conflicts because of skin color or sexual orientation or gender. It's almost laughable. I mean, if you wipe all that out and you say the spirit of the soul has no gender or the spirit of the soul has no skin color, then what are we fighting about?
Right. Right. And yet that's why we're here, to work through that. And
exactly.
Many people, I think, if they start to ask the questions, I always say this, if they, whatever their belief system is, if they asked, gee, is this really what I believe, or is this my grandparents or another generation, you know, what do I feel, what do I believe in? That, and if everybody questioned that, I think most people would come to a place of saying, you know what? I can see the love in everyone. I can see God in everyone, so that they can turn around. And once you turn around, then you want to serve and help people. And that's really it in a nutshell, why we're here, to, like yourself, utilizing your passion and your purpose to serve others. And when you're in that dimension of that energy, you thrive. And you want to do better, and you want to help other people. And if everyone could get to that place, and some do and some don't, unfortunately.
Right.
But, so how has the COVID changed your life and your family life, and even in your writing and everything? Do you have more stories that you've got, like, developing because of it?
It's you know, I call it a blessing as much as a curse. So I have so many ideas in not enough time to ever, you know, put pen to paper. So I've been blessed in that sense, but it also drives you crazy after a while, right? So for me, a good writer is somebody that goes out into the world and experiences things and then captures it on paper. I write reality-based fiction, so, you know, the menu is fiction. It's a novel. But it's based upon some of my experiences and the people that I've talked to and the feelings that I've had and, you know, things that I've witnessed. So when you're kind of locked up in your house, you know, doing the right thing during the quarantine, you don't get a lot of that stimuli, right, that comes in. On the other hand, the amount of time that we've had, I think I put it to very good use. I've done a lot of writing. The downside to it is I've done so much writing that, you know, if I'm writing at the kitchen table or I'm in the dining room, it's hard to get away from it, right, because you don't leave the house. And then too much of a good thing is still too much, right? And it's you know, if I'm out in the world and I come home and I'm excited about writing, if I'm stuck in the house and I'm writing and that's all I'm doing, then eventually that becomes, you know, tedious. So I wouldn't say I'm complaining, but it's definitely a different world. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Understood. Now, in the book, Finn, the character, actually writes poems. Do you have a favorite poem that you have written that ties into everything we're talking about?
Yeah, I'll pull it up. Maybe I can recite it to your audience. But I wrote a poem a few years ago called "A Walk in the Clouds." And again, you know, from a writer's perspective, it's the word perspective, right? So it all becomes, you know, how do you see things, right? If you look at, you know, Garth Stein, and he writes "Racing in the Rain," and the whole perspective is from a dog's point of view, right, which is absolutely brilliant when you think about it. But as soon as you change or you shift the perspective, so I'm so used to seeing things the same way, I'm used to looking at life a certain way. So for the menu, I wanted to get past that, and I wanted it to be a higher view, right? So 35,000 feet up in the clouds, I'm looking down, and all of a sudden the things that I thought were important really aren't. And the things that are important need to get worked on now, right? So, you know, going back to your earlier point, Deborah, you know, once you realize you have a responsibility to help other people, for whatever reason, the clock starts ticking a little bit faster, right? Because we only have so much time.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read this, if I may.
This
poem is called A Walk in the Clouds. It was actually read or recited on the Today Show. It was on BET. I don't know if it was on Good Morning America, but Yolanda King, who was the eldest daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., had selected it out of an anthology, saying that it most represent, at least for this collection of poems and short essays, it best represented her father's life's work, which I was a
complete
honor.
Oh my gosh!
But,
what an honor!
It really was, and it's called A Walk in the Clouds. I walked amongst the clouds today, and then I took a seat to try to understand the world that spun beneath my feet. It was the grandest picture my eyes had ever seen. I couldn't make out colors except for blue and green. And yet I could see people, a whole race on the run. To tell the truth, from where I sat, they clearly moved as one. With fear, they searched for answers they thought were on the ground. And though they spoke in different tongues, they made the sweetest sound. They had the wrong perspective, with no way they could know. There are no individuals, but just parts of a whole. And so I made a wish for them that someday they would see, only when they really love is when they're really free. I'll dance amongst the stars tonight while others search in vain, but just above their point of view, there's no such thing as pain.
Mm. Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I can see why she chose that, and you must have been tickled and honored and everything for her to choose that.
Yeah, absolutely thrilled by it, really.
You should have that in your bio. Because that's really, Wow. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you for allowing me. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's one of my favorite pieces because it was very, very, very simplistic. Like, I know, you know, I work with a lot of writers through the years who will really lay it on thick. And for me, you know, I consider myself more of a storyteller than, you know, than an author. And it's about telling the story, right? And sometimes it's about telling the story very simplistically, right? So that other people can relate to it and you get the head nod and it's like, yeah, we're kind of all in this together, right? So let's remember that.
Right.
And that's really what I'm trying to relate.
Yeah. And, you know, when you write a poem, it's neat because you could have 24 people read it and they'll take in the gift of that in their own unique way based on their own life or their own journey or perspective. And so it's like a kaleidoscope of offerings where people can just pull in whatever they, and maybe even read it a year later and take in something different.
Right. Yeah, I totally believe that. I love poetry for the fact that it captures a certain moment in time, right? And to your point, you know, it's almost a conversation starter, right? So somebody will read it and, you know, they just accept it or they take it in for what they need from it.
Right.
So, yeah, I love that piece of it.
Yes, that's neat. All right, well, we're coming up on our break. Anyone that would like to buy the book, The Menu, You Are Never Alone, Not Ever, you can find it on Steve's website or all the different places you purchase books. So go on his site just to check all everything about him. It's Stephen Manchester, just how it sounds, and Stephen is Steven, StephenManchester.com. And the other thing I'd like to share, too, is it's from John Land, USA Today bestselling author of Murder, She Wrote series. He says, Stephen Manchester writes like Nicholas Sparks on steroids. The Menu serves up a unique, uplifting tale of both first and second chances and the role fate plays in all our lives. Manchester pulls out all the stops in taking us on a spiritual journey that proves anything is possible when love is involved. This is storytelling of the highest order, and eye-opening as it is, mind-bending. So that's from John Land. Wow, that is something. Well, we're going to go out on our break. With that said, we'll be back in a moment.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Join us in May and we'll waive the daily fees. Located in Rhinebeck, in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because of child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and our phone number is 833-220-1200. If you have a comment or a question for Steve or a thought, please give us a call. You know, Steve, I wanted to ask you, you have 4 children, correct?
I do, yep.
Yes. Now, with all your writing, have any of them taken on that same purpose? Do you see one of them or more interested in writing?
Right. This, out of the 4, I would say 3 are incredibly creative. So I don't know if you call that right brain, left brain, but my side of the brain. And out of those 3, I would have to guess like 2 of them at some point will probably pursue something. I'm not sure if it'll be a livelihood type of thing, but much like me, I mean, you know, you can't keep it inside, right? It's like poison. You got to get it out. So for them, being creative, and one of them is like a script writer, so he's really into the filmmaking. And my daughter is actually a songwriter, writes a lot of poetry and short fiction and whatnot. So it's fun. It's fun to see. And it's one thing I promised myself years ago that I wasn't going to push it on them, right? If they want help, you know, they know where to find me, and obviously I'll do whatever I can to help them. But it's definitely not something that I push, because I never wanted to be pushed, right?
Mm-hmm. But that creativity, I mean, that's why we thrive, how we thrive, should I say. So what, as far as the menu or anything else, what do you want the listeners to know and to receive?
Yeah, I think it's really about connecting, right? So I think a good writer makes his or her readers feel. I think a great writer, but a great writer will make somebody feel. And I spend a lot of time and effort to try to, you know, write stories that are relatable, that they're real, relatable, and really remind people that there's no way you could be alone, because I think the same way you think, at least, you know, to a certain degree, I feel the same things you feel. We're kind of in the same boat together, right? So theme, you are never alone, I think it's probably been a thread that has, you know, connected all of the novels that I've written. So that's really my message. In the end, it's about reminding people that we're all in this together. And to me, there is a higher power that drives all of it.
Yes, yes. And what I've been finding with my journey here in Awakenings is that, you know, we have support, and it's not only from God or the Ascended Masters, Jesus, all of that, but our parents and our, you know, I'm learning our parents. Even if you didn't have a close relationship with your mom or dad, or maybe it's because you didn't, but right. Different things come up and bubble up that's right in your face, and you realize they're here. They're supporting, and that is very heartwarming, especially during the chaos and the times that we're experiencing. There's such an opportunity right now. I mean, that higher guidance is actually heightened now, and all we have to do is ask for it, or sit quietly, or pay attention. I had, I have to share this. I haven't yet on radio. I was going through a thing, and one morning, I live out in the country, one morning, there's always deer, but I've never seen two fawns, and the fawns were just by themselves. The mother had to be somewhere close, but she wasn't there, and they were standing in front of the pool fence, and I was like in awe. I could not believe it. The same day, later on, there was a fox that walked across the front yard. And so think about that, the trickster, the fawns represent love, new beginnings, all of that. And then the next morning, after a dream about my dad, I woke up and there were the fawns in the front yard, but now with the mom. And I just, that was my message, that they both are supporting and here. So, and I've got little goosebumps just sharing that.
Yeah.
That was it's a,
me too. Right.
It's a simple thing, but it was so profound, if that makes sense.
Right. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so these things are here for us. All we have to
Absolutely.
Do is pay attention, you know. So you know what I wanted to ask you about, too, is for the listeners, Steve has written a children's book, Perfect Chase. So, and you can get it on Amazon, and it's just a beautiful story. So tell us about that, since we're promoting everything you are, Steve.
Thank you. I a few years back, I have a friend, very dear friend, whose son has autism, and his name is Chase. And we were sitting by the pool, and I'm watching this kid draw, right? He's just, you know, drawing characters. And so I walked past him, and I said, you know, one day, Chase, you and Uncle Steve are going to write a book together. And everybody laughed. And I started to do the research, and then I started, you know, sitting with them. And it took probably about 18 months to put out this book, but it's a children's book. It's called Perfect Chase, One Reflection of Autism. And it's really about acceptance and awareness. And it's about explaining autism, but from the family's point of view, right? So not the medicinal reasons that a child may have autism, but what was it like when, you know, he was born and you realized that he had autism, and what were some of the challenges and some of the blessings that came with that. So it was a really cool project. We probably, you know, we promoted very heavily for about a year and a half, 2 years, and, you know, ran the circuit and got it into all the local schools. And I'm actually very proud to say that for a lot of the elementary schools where I live, it's, you know, mandatory reading. So Very, very cool. And, you know, and for every book that we sold, I think the books had cost, because they were hardcover, I think for every book we sold, the cover price was $10, and it cost $5 to print it. So the profit ended up getting, ended up buying a book, or you know, for every book sold, we would send the book to an elementary school. So it worked out really well.
Yeah, I love that. It's beautiful. And I actually reached out to you because the two younger grandchildren, they were really enthralled about the book, and it opened up questions too, so you could have a conversation about it. So I think it's an excellent book. So everyone go on again on Steve's site. It's stevemanchester.com. Steven with a V.
Right.
stevemanchester.com. On the menu, the book, I love that you talked or you presented the little boy, Finn's son, who is a toddler. I guess he was just a toddler at the time, or maybe he was, you could probably address this, maybe he was 5. But his father was talking with him, asking if he knew his mom, and he just opened up and said it like it was. So share that, because I think that just touches one's heart.
Yeah, I think that, you know, so at the beginning of the book, there's a quote where he asks God, Finn Reed asks God, you know, will I remember this? And God says, you know, the memories of home, and he's referring to heaven, will fade with the progression of time. And he talks about that there's a time continuum on earth, but it's not the same in heaven, right? Where everything is now. There is no past, there is no present yet. Like, everything is now. It's all happening right now. So when you get into the book and you start talking about those memories, the only way I could get away with it is when his son is born and he just starts to speak, the father talks to him about his mom, who's, you know, his late mom who passes away. And he says, yeah, I know who she is. And he talks about her in the present tense. He talks about knowing her, that he's met her, that he knows that she loves him. And there's an implication there. Right? I infer that it wasn't from here, right? It was. He was too young to have known her before she passed away, but he knew her, you know, before he was born, right? So it just plays into that, and that, you know, he's going to be with her again once he goes home.
Right. I'm just so happy that you included that from a child's perspective, because it's true. I remember one of my grandchildren when she was just like 2. She kept choosing a picture of her grandfather and having like a little conversation. I was like, there's no way that she doesn't know him in a different realm or her own. She's so close to being, she's, you know, at 2, you're so close to being at home. You know, so you just know anyway. Well,
yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. That was one of my favorite parts of the book too. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you know what? The kids are such a blessing, the little ones especially. They have such wisdom because they're close to being in the afterlife before they came. And so there's such, they can teach us so much is the bottom line.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Steve, for coming on the show again. I've really enjoyed this. And everyone, get the book, The Menu. You Are Never Alone, Not Ever. And follow Steve, because he's got books coming out all the time. And this is a perfect time where people may be up in their homes, not going out as much, or even if you are going out a lot, get the book, because it takes you on a trip. You're away from anything that you're concerned about. You're in another world reading about these families, and it's entertaining, and you want to go back to that very next chapter. If you put the book down, you want to be back to it. So I want to thank you again, Steve, for writing the way you do. It really hits home and entertaining.
Thank you, Deborah. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So everyone out there, go on steveinmanchester.com. And remember, today's episode of Love by Intuition has been brought to you by the purposeful book, Spirituality, Modern Disciples of Jesus Christ, by author Bettina Spockels. Her book is filled with comforting encouragement during the time of chaos in America and around the globe. It is channeled, updated ancient wisdom from a higher source. Readers will learn more about who they really are, and they'll also learn what their purpose is. Loving light will shine joy in the reader's heart, something we all need, joy, and we need to allow that joy to come in. Spirituality, Modern Disciples of Jesus Christ by Bettina Spockels can be found right on her site, Bettina, B-E-T-T-I-N-A, Spockels.com, all one word. Or you can get it on Amazon, and she's offering a free PDF of her chapter of her latest book, so you can contact her, B as in boy, H as in happy, Spockels at yahoo.com. Again, thank you so much, Steve. Everyone, buy the menu and buy all his books, because you'll be entertained for weeks on end. And for everyone out there, start thinking about what you can do to make a difference in this world, and start within. Find out what the truth of you, who you are, what your truth is, and what rings your bell. And when you know that, then start just being creative and considering what you could do with that purpose on how to give back and create a livelihood for yourself as well. It's all about balance. All right, till the next time, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.